Now, we went to meet him the other night, and God gave me some thoughts the other night on this, and as I began to study on it toward the end of the week, and as had the privilege of spending some time with the Lord this week and in the tree stand, and thankful for that time, and Lord just seemed to magnify this, and I'm glad that God's interested in me. Amen. I really am. When I know what I am, I know who I am. And then when I'm reminded that God is interested in somebody like me, man, ain't that a blessing? I mean, think about that. I mean, you know who you are and how you are and what all your faults and all your failures. But God is interested in your everyday life. And the Bible's a revelation of God's desire to have a relationship with man. That's what it's about. You'll find that in the first part of your Bible, you'll find there in Genesis chapter 1, where God created the heavens and the earth, Isaiah said this, that God Himself formed the earth, and He made it, and He established it. He created it not in vain, and He formed it to be inhabited. You know, that people are saying, and I know that we ought to be good stewards and thankful that, you know, for what God's blessed us, and I understand that, but this crowd who thinks that the earth is, we're going to overpopulate the earth, and I'll be honest with you, I ain't so sure that ain't why that crowd ain't caused COVID to come about. I'm afraid they're of overpopulation, but God created this thing to be inhabited. He created this thing to be enjoyed. The Bible says He created all things rich, that we may, and God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God done it for us. I mean, think about it. He done it for us. And God is not trying, and this is the thought that God gave me this week, and even when God took me back to the time that I got saved, God's not trying to straighten us out. He's trying to call us to Him. I mean, that's what it's all about. He's not trying to straighten us out. He's trying to call us out. He's trying to make Himself a part of our life. Now remember, and we're going to look this morning at the different things of the different calls that God called out through the Word of God. And this morning we're going to look in Genesis chapter 3 at the first call, and then we're going to see the call of a Savior and the call of a Shepherd and the call of the Sovereign, and God help us, the call of the Spouse. And man, one day He's going to call us out of here, amen? But notice here this morning, and let's look, and I brought this to you several times, but I don't believe I would do justice if I didn't bring it out again. Because I really believe this is the most important aspect of a Christian's life, is that when a Christian realizes and finds out that God is interested in having fellowship and a relationship with them. The Christian relationship is not, the Bible is a list of do's and don'ts. That's the law. And what the law done was showed us that we couldn't live it. But when we get into the New Testament, we find that it's a ministry of reconciliation, and God has reconciled us unto Himself, and that the love of Christ is not the judgment of God that's against us anymore, and that keeps us from sinning, but the love of Christ in our heart constrains us. Remember, it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. That's what the Bible says. It's the goodness of God. Man, I'll be honest, it was godly sorrow, but when I seen the goodness of God, that God was interested in an old sinner like me, and God in all of His majesty and all of His honor and all of His glory wanted to be a part of my life. Wanted me to have a different life, a different lifestyle, a different group of people to be around, a different group of friends, a different purpose. And God wanted that for me. And man, I'm thankful that He wanted that for me. You pray for us this morning. Pray God to help us today. Notice here in Genesis chapter number 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, if God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege you give us to stand before this people this morning. Lord, what an honor it is, God, to stand behind your pulpit, God, and preach your word. Lord, I pray this morning that, God, that you would use me to help these people, God. Lord, to enlighten their minds and their hearts to the goodness of God in their life, and Lord, the interest, Lord, that you have in their life. Lord, I pray that you'd flood my soul with your goodness this morning. Lord, I pray you'd touch my mouth, Lord, my throat. I pray you'd touch my lungs. Lord, I pray you'd help me, God, this morning. Use me for your honor and your glory. Father, I pray, God, today that you would minister, God, to these people through the preaching of the Word of God. May it accomplish, Lord, whatever you send it out to do today. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Notice here the call of the Savior. And I'm going to say this again. God's trying to call you out of your faults and your failures when He saved you. That's all He was trying to do. So often in our lives, and so often we have the mindset that God's trying to straighten us out. And God is. But His whole desire is for God to call you out. As God walked in the garden in the cool of the day that day, and remember, God had made Adam in His image and in His likeness. Of all the creation that God had made man in His image and His likeness. And God had breathed into nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. And God had set parameters for that man to operate his life in. And God had given him all things richly to enjoy. And you know this passage of Scripture. But God had given him the whole garden richly there to enjoy. God had given him a spouse because he'd seen that man that there was not a helpmeet for him. And he seen that man was alone. And so he said, I'll make an helpmeet for him. And he put man to sleep. And he took his rib and he formed the woman there out of the dust of the ground. And God, because God was interested in providing every need and fulfilling every desire that man that he had created and breathed into his nostrils, God desired to give him everything that man needed. And as God set the parameters of the garden there for Adam to operate in, and we know this, that to play a game fairly and to play the game with fun, that, man, there has to be some parameters and there has to be rules of life. And because if you don't have any rules, guess what? It becomes chaos. And God said, I've given you everything richly to enjoy in the garden. I placed you here. I provided for you here. I put you here. And here is the only thing that you are not allowed to do, and that is to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Adam, when we know the story, how that Satan beguiled Eve and deceived Eve, and just let me go ahead and throw this out. And it doesn't matter who challenges you on the authority of the Word of God and the accuracy of the Word of God and the accountability of the Word of God. If you're listening to them, the devil will use them against you. Satan challenged Eve on the accuracy of it and the authority of it and the accountability of it. And Eve, she took of the fruit, and she took it and she gave it to Adam and his wife, and he did eat him. There's a whole other story in that about the love of Christ in the church, and Adam loved his wife, and he didn't want her to live in sin and be apart from her. But we see this morning as Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden that day, and we see because of their transgression that how that fellowship in their life was broken. I mean, man, it was a normal thing for God to come walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It was a normal thing for God and Adam there to have fellowship one with another. They was in perfect harmony, in perfect fellowship. They were never out of fellowship. I don't know that there's been another man other than maybe Enoch. We know that Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him, and Moses there talked with God on the mountain. But I don't know that there's ever been a man outside the Lord Jesus Christ that had the relationship with God that Adam had. I mean, he was in a perfect state in his perfect being. But then because of the transgression of Adam, notice Adam's thinking. And so often when we get sin in our life, this is our thinking. Notice here, the Bible said this, and the Lord God, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. When Adam saw God's goodness, and Adam ended up trying to straighten himself out. When he heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, coming back to fellowship with him, God knew Adam's sin, but Adam knew his sin too, and Adam said, okay, I'll fix this thing. Right? What happens every time we try to fix something? We make it worse. It don't matter what it is. We don't want it. We don't want God in it. We say, well, I messed it up. I'll fix it myself. And understand this. God has got a desire for us to need Him and to want Him and to want to be with Him. But our thinking is just like Adam's thinking. When I mess up, I try to fix it. Adam, we see here that he tried to hide it. He tried to hide it with the leaves. They sewed fig leaves together. I mean, God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day to have fellowship with him, knowing what Adam and Eve had done. And they tried to hide it from God. They tried to make fig leaves and cover themselves up in their sin up. They were trying to straighten themselves out. They said, I've messed up, and God's coming, and we had fellowship yesterday, and because of God's goodness and His grace, and we transgressed God, and we must hide it from Him. He tried to cover it up with leaves. But then he knew that wasn't good enough. He knew that he not just trying to cover it with leaves, he tried to cover it with leaving. God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day and calling out to Adam. And where was Adam? He was hiding. He said, I heard thy voice and I hid. He said, I heard you coming, Lord. I heard you walking. I heard you calling out to me. He said, I heard your voice. And he said, but I went and hid. See, so often in our lives we think that because of our sin, that God's come walking with that voice of condemnation, with that rod of iron, to come in our lives to straighten us out. God's not coming, listen to me, God's not coming to straighten us out. He's coming to help us out. Amen. When He saved us, God came into our lives to help us out. When we could not get to God, God came to where we was. When we couldn't live the life, Christ Jesus died on the cross for our sins. What we couldn't do for ourselves, God did. God's not coming to try to straighten us out in our life. He's coming to try to help us out. When He walked in the garden that day, understand this, we know that Adam had sinned, and Adam, because of Adam's sin, it cast the whole world there into sin, and ever descended from that day on, all of mankind was cast into sin. But understand this, and you've heard me say this before, it amazes me how that God created Adam, and Adam, He knew Adam's sin, He knew Adam's demise, but He still had a desire to be with Adam, even though Adam had no desire to be with him. See, sometimes in our life, we don't have a desire to fellowship with God. Sometimes in our life, we think, well, man, you know, God's disappointed in me. God's got to be discouraged with my lifestyle and the choices that I make. And I really don't know how I got this far out. I really don't know how I've got what happened yesterday. Man, I was in fellowship with God. I was walking with God. I was enjoying my Christian life. But today, I really just don't know where God is. And I don't even know what I've done to get here. And we think, well, God don't want no part of my life. God don't want him to have any part in my life. Man, when we read this story here and we find that God knew where Adam was, God knew what Adam had done, and God still came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, calling out to Adam. And he said this. He came calling him by name. Notice what the Bible said here. And the Lord God called unto Adam. Didn't say man. There's a difference. When God, when that word of God and God spoke directly Adam's name, it meant that God had a personal interest in a certain being. Now think about this. Man, Adam was the only man there was. And God could have said, man, where art thou? Because he was the only one that was created. But God is such a personal God and wants such a personal relationship with you and I that God called him by a personal name that God had named him. And God said, Adam, where are you? Adam, where art thou? He said, I've come walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Understand this, I see the compassion and the mercy and the grace that God had on Adam's life when he came calling him, because he came to where Adam was. Adam didn't go to where he was. Also, I see there, he killed to cover Adam's sin. We know the story. He killed the animals and covered Adam's sin with coats of skin. And I know that's a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I also want you to see this morning. He loved Adam so much that he corralled the tree of life that Adam and Eve could not go back to it and live eternally damned and separated from God. Because if mankind, Adam, had went, remember, God put the seraphim there with the flaming sword at the gate. It wasn't to keep the devil in. It was to keep Adam out. It was to keep mankind from going back and partaking of that tree of life and living eternally damned from God. Eternally separated. God came walking in Adam's life and all that he had done, all the mistakes that he'd made, all the failures that he'd done, all that. I mean, it was just that one simple thing. But God came walking into his life, desiring to have fellowship with him, desiring still to be a part of his life. And even though Adam had messed up, God knew that he could fix Adam's problem. And God didn't come to straighten him out. God came to call him out. God said, Adam, I'm coming calling. Where are you? Where are you? I want to be a part of your life. I want you to live in a life of fullness. I've given you everything. Yes, you broke my law. You broke my commandment. But Adam, I still love you. And Adam, I'm still interested in you. Never forget that God's not coming trying to straighten you out. He's coming to try to call you out. Oh, he could have come with a rod of iron or a switch of briars and whooped at him. He could have killed him. But he didn't. Because he desired to have fellowship with him. Now, we see as we see the law and then we get this mindset of God, and I understand this morning, I'm a grace preacher, but I'm not just grace. I understand that there's requirements. And I understand this morning, and don't please, if you're watching by Facebook or if you're in the congregation this morning, I understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I understand He paid the penalty of my sin. I understand He saved me from the power of sin. And one day He's going to save me from the presence of sin. Amen. I understand that. And I know that if I sin, my sin will find me out. And if I don't confess and I commit sin habitually, I know I'll be took to the woodshed, because whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. But sometimes we've got it in our mind that as soon as we mess up, that God's coming running after us with a belt or a rod to take care of us and straighten us out. Nowhere in the Word of God do I find that God did that to any man.
Now I find where God judged nations and God judged people because of their sins, because they were doing it over and over and over and over again. Now listen to me this morning. What I'm saying is this. Our heart condemns us, but if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence with Him. But God is greater than our heart. And when we realize that God is interested in our life, and all God wants us to do is follow Him, all God wants us to do is obey Him, all God wants us to do is to have fellowship with us. See, He tried calling to you this morning. Are you listening to me? This morning, before you ever got out of bed, God had a plan to be interested in you. This morning, before God ever allowed you to wake up, God had a plan to fellowship with you today. But so often in our lives, we're like Adam and we're hiding from Him because we know that we're not worthy of God's fellowship in our life. But the fact of the matter is, God's still interested in us. I'm going to show you this morning. Because understand this, the reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins was to reconcile us unto God. The reason that Christ died was not man's plan, it was God's plan. The reason Christ died was not that man may reach to God, but that God may bridge the gap between God and man. Beloved, it is all part of God's plan to have fellowship with human beings like you and I. But the fact of the matter is, we're like Adam, and we're running and we're hiding from God. And God's saying the whole time, where are you? All I want to do is come and have fellowship with you, but Lord, you don't know what I've done. Oh yeah, I do. I'll fix it. That's why He says in His Word, if we confess our sins, that He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, where's confessing in this? Adam said these words, I did eat. He said, Lord, I did eat. I broke your law. I've done exactly what you didn't ask me to do. He said, Lord, I did it. God said, I know. Now we can get somewhere. Now we can get somewhere. I want you to understand that God is interested in having fellowship with you. There's a call of fellowship. But I want you to know this morning the call of a Savior is a call of fellowship. But I want you to see the call of the shepherd. Go to John chapter 10, verse number 1. John chapter 10, verse number 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 10, verse number 1. He said this in John chapter 10, verse number 1. He said, verily I say unto you that he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Not only God has a call in your life today for fellowship, but God has a call upon your life today for feeding. Listen to me this morning. Jesus said this in John. He said, I am come. Look in John chapter number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Understand this today. The call of the shepherd in our lives is a call to fullness. The call there of the Savior in Genesis 3 was a call there to fellowship. But the call of the shepherd is a call to a fullness of life here in this life. He said, the sheep hear my voice and I know them. What did he say?
And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he lead them out. Do you know that when before the sun ever came up this morning, God had already had a plan for your life to walk into your life today and to take you to a place, a field there of green pastures to make you lie down.
Thank God.
He said, he calleth them all by name. He says, the good shepherd, he said, to him the porter openeth. What that means is this. They would bring the sheep from the field in the evenings, and they'd put them there in a corral, and they would be one that guarded the gate. And that was the sheepfold. They stayed in there at night to protect it from the predators and protect them there from the thieves. That's why he said, he that cometh up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. They'd climb up across there the walls and go in there and steal the sheep and the lamb and carry them back out. But the shepherd there and the porter there would protect the sheep from that happening. But every morning the sheep there would be gathered, and as the shepherd came there early in the morning there, as the dew was still on the ground, and he opened up, the porter there would open the door, and he would call his sheep by name, because they know the voice of the shepherd. You know, he got up this morning saying, Caleb, I've got a field full of goodness for you to graze in today. I've got a stream that's slow moving for you to drink out of.
Amen.
It was a daily feeding. We have to take care of our sheep every day. It was a daily thing to him, the porter opening. Now understand this, we are living, Christians, we are living such empty lives today. The sheep in Psalms 23 said this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord had provided every need, every desire to the fullest of satisfaction for that sheep. And I want you to understand this morning that the God of heaven, the shepherd and bishop of your souls, the Lord Jesus Christ, has a plan for you to graze here in this world, and has a purpose for you, a place for you to graze, that you might live this day without any wants or needs in your life. He's calling you out. But I'm afraid most of us, this is what happens to us. We get over there with our fellow sheep from another flock, and we get to fellowshipping with them, and the shepherd's calling our name. Come on out, Nathan. I got some fields prepared for you.
In a minute,
Lord. Right now I'm fellowshipping with Brother Green. Lord, in a minute. Lord, give me just a few moments. After I do this, Lord, I'll come. And here's the problem, Brother Terry. The shepherd goes ahead and leads those that want to follow him out.
That's right.
And we're left in the fold. And we wonder why we're dry and barren and empty on the inside. When he said, I've called you by name. I've called you by name this morning. I've set up a field for you. He said, I've searched it out. And that's what the shepherd would do. He would go in. He would search it out. He would find the most lush grass. He would make sure that there was no adders or snakes down in the holes. He would find there of the best grazing, not where other sheep had grazed. It was the most nutritious grass. He says, I found a place for you today. He says, I'm calling out to you by name. And all I'm saying is, follow me! Follow me! I'll guide you. You see, the sheep in the 23rd Psalm had some sense. He followed the shepherd. He said, I shall not want. He's a personal shepherd. Because that sheep said, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus said this, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He also said this. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. Do you understand that even on this day, you woke up this morning, God, you had an extra hour of sleep, but you've kind of been dragging, because instead of getting up and getting moving, you have that extra hour of sleep, and everything seems to be in a dragging mode. God knows that. God knows why those people who was not real smart
I understand why they done it years ago, but those people who's leading our country today that don't have all the wisdom they need and they can't fix this thing and switch it back, I still ain't figured out where the money deal is on this daylight savings time.
Amen.
I mean, I really ain't. But it's all about money somewhere or another. I'm just being honest with you. But even though God knew how you was going to feel today, and God knew what you're going to experience today, and God knew all about it, and He says, I've got a field for you, for you to come graze in. I've got a field for you to come lie in. Because of the sheep said this. He said, He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. You know why they lie down in green pasture? It's because their belly's so full, they can't eat no more. I mean, that's why. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus says, they know my voice, and I know their name, and I'm calling out to them to lead them out into green pastures. He says, I am come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. You living a full life, or you living an empty life? It may be because you're not grazing where the shepherd wants you to graze. It may be that you're staying in the sheepfold with the other sheep and your other cohorts instead of spending time with the Lord and following Him. Notice what I'm saying, and I want you to understand, God didn't come into your life to straighten you out. Are you seeing these pictures that He came walking with that voice of grace to call you out of your sin and to fix you? And that's exactly what He did when He saved you. But now that He's calling you not just that one time, but He's calling you every day. And He says, I've got plans for you. I've got a place for you to grave. I've got a purpose for you in your life. I've got something bigger for you than you could ever imagine. Maybe tomorrow, Lord. Maybe tomorrow. He was a providing shepherd. He was a protecting shepherd. The sheep in Psalms 23 says, Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd, notice what he said. He said, The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and destroy. He said, But I am come that you might have life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse number 12, But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, who's on the sheep or not, seeth the wolf cometh, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. He says, I'm not going to leave you when the wolf comes. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you when the thief comes. See, so often in our lives we think, well, God's invested in us when we were saved, and then God's forgot about us. But understand this, God's got too much invested in us to leave us. Beloved, He loves us too much to leave us. Beloved, He will protect us. We're not in this thing alone. He's got a plan and a purpose for our life, and if we'll follow Him, we can live in the fullness of life here. We're waiting to get to heaven to start living in the fullness of God. But we have the fullness of God in us already.
Amen.
The Bible says that it dwells in us. We've got the Holy Ghost of God living inside of us. There's as much God in us as there is in heaven today. It's just in a different manifestation.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the Bible. Because the Holy Ghost is not separate from God.
Right.
He's as much God. God the Spirit is as much God as God the Father. God the Son's as much God as God the Father. It's just in a different manifestation. And we have the Holy Ghost living inside of us, and we have the fullness of God indwelling in us, and we're waiting to get to heaven before we enjoy what God has for us. God's shepherd says, I've called you by name this morning. I've called you out of the fold. I've called you out of that place of rest and relaxation. He said, you rested last night. He said, now come on out and let's see what I have for you today. Not only the call of the Savior and the call of the shepherd, but I want to look at this one. I'm not going to labor this point, and I'm just going to share this with you, but the call of the sovereign. He was walking by the Sea of Galilee there in Matthew chapter 4, and he looked over there, and Peter and John and him was fish. Peter and Andrew were fish, and he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's a call of service. That's a call of service. He's calling you in, or a field of service. He's called you into fellowship. He's called you there into the field. Now He's calling you to follow. He's calling you into service. You notice, understand this morning. You and I, we sit down and we try to contemplate Or y'all may not, just I'll say me. I don't know how, well, no, I know y'all are, because that's like I tell my kids. I said, every human being's the same. I mean, I'm honest. If we be honest, we're all the same. God made it, we're all that way. We sit down and we try to figure out what God wants us to do. And we try to figure out what we can do to make our life better as a Christian. And we try to figure out, and Jesus made this statement to those men as he walked by. He said, follow me. Follow me. Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. Follow me. You know when the shepherd called out to the sheep to lead them out in the pasture, all he wanted them to follow him. He looked at Peter and James and John and he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It's a call to service. You say, well, I just don't know how to serve God. Follow him. Follow him. He said, if you follow me, I will what? I'll make you. So understand that. Well, let's put it, and I don't think I'm downplaying the Word of God. Brother Green, if I follow him, then he can, because we say, well, okay, how can I be a good husband? If I follow him, I'll make you a good husband. If she follows him, I'll make you a good wife. Lord, how do I be a good pastor? If I follow him, I will make you. I will make you.
Amen.
But the key point is to follow him. But he looked at them and he called unto them. He said, and he called them by name. And he said, follow me. Follow the man of God? No. Follow the church? No. Follow me. Follow me. You follow me and I will make you. I'll make you into what I want you to be. I'll make you into what I designed you for. I will make you in for the purpose that I have put you on this earth. See, we're still searching for a purpose. We're still saying, well, I just don't know what. God has a purpose and God has a plan. And if you and I will follow Him, He will make of us that purpose.
Amen.
But the problem is, when He calls us to follow, we still don't have time. In a minute. Well, Lord, I'd rather go this way. Lord, I'd rather do this. I think, Lord, it would be better suited if I handle it this way.
Yep. Amen.
He says, all I want is you to follow me. He said, you follow me and I'll make you.
Yes.
Not only this, the call of the sovereign. But I like this and I'm done. I'm closing with this one. The call of the spouse. You say, what do you mean the call of the spouse? Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You don't have to turn. I do want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians, but while you're turning, I want you to listen to me this morning. Paul did say this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. He said, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin of Christ. You know you and I are engaged. We are engaged. That word espouse means that we're engaged to somebody. It's a spousal spirit. I mean, it means that you're promised. That means your commitment. That or you've been committed. And Paul looked at the church at Corinth and he said, I have espoused you to one. He said that I might present you as a chaste virgin. Do you realize, church, we are the bride of Christ, but we're not married yet. We are spiritually, because he that has joined himself unto the Lord is one body, as the Bible says there in 1 Corinthians. But understand this, manifested wise, you and I are not married to Christ yet. We've just been engaged. Alright? We're waiting on that day for the groom to come calling. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Listen to this. For the Lord, verse number 16, Himself shall descend from heaven with a what? Shout. I wonder what that shout's going to be. I mean, think about it. It says, for the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout. That means He's going to shout, okay, on that day. And then it says, with the voice of an archangel.
That means the archangels are shouting too. Whether they're shouting glory, whether they're shouting praise, or whether they're repeating what He is shouting. The Lord Himself is going to send with a shout. I just believe it's this. Over there in Revelation chapter, chapter number 1, about verse number 4. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice say, come up hither. That day when the Lord comes back, beloved, He's coming to call His spouse. He's going to walk through the door of the heavens. He's going to split it wide open and He's going to say, bride, I've come for you. I've come to call you home. And beloved, I want you to understand that the whole thing about the Word of God, the whole thing about the Christian life is that God may have an eternal relationship with somebody like you and I. That's all it's about. When we were in our sin, He came calling for us. Every day of our life, He comes calling for us. And there's a day coming when He's coming back to call for us. And so, what did it say? So shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank God for the cause of God.
Amen.
Man, notice, he said the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel. Man, I like that's the loud shout. Look in verse number 17. Then here's the leaving of this old world. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Man, you realize that we're leaving this place. They can have it.
Amen.
I mean, they can have it. Bill Gates can have it. What's the Amazon man? Help me out here. Bezos, Jeff Bezos and all his money. George Soros is trying to own the world. He can have it. Why? Because I'm leaving here one day. And notice this. I have the love of the Savior. I have the loud shout of the Savior. I have the leaving of this world. I'm beloved, I want you to notice the next thing there is. I will have a love that's eternal because I will ever be with the Lord.
Thank God.
Huh. So the whole point of salvation is that He might have a relationship with me.
Amen.
But every day of my life, these two right here, I make fun of them. You know, back when some of y'all had letters, okay? I did have a phone with a 30-mile cord attached to it that you know you could walk through the house. Yeah. These two, they have these little things in their pocket. And Caleb comes walking through the house with his phone like this. And I hear Sarah's voice. And I'm like... And about 30 minutes later, I still hear Sarah's voice. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? He said, well, I'm talking to her. We're on video calling. And I mean, honestly, they put their phone on video call. They call each other, and and she'll do her homework, and Caleb does his whatever he does, and you know, and they're just communicating back and forth. You know what they're doing? They're fellowshipping. You know why? Because they ain't married yet. They're not married yet. They can't enjoy the fullness of the relationship.
Amen.
So right now, they just have to have daily fellowship. But one of these days, if the Lord's will, He don't mess it up. They might get married. And then they're going to get to ever be with one another.
Amen.
And today, that's what the Lord wants in our life. We can't be with Him.
Sure want to.
But He calls us every day and says, I can't be with you right now. But I just want to remind you, I'm still interested in you. I just want you to know that I still love you and I ain't forgot that promise I made you.
Amen.
In one of these days... I'm going to come
and I'm going to call for you, and we're going to be married.
Amen.
You know what? He ain't trying to straighten her out. She's trying to straighten him out. But
get her a different profession.
Yeah. But he ain't trying to straighten her out. God didn't come into your life straightening you out. And now I want you to listen to him this morning. When he comes into your life, you'll fall in love with him.
Amen.
Listen, and you'll straighten out.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
You'll straighten out.
Because you love him.
Because remember there in Romans, he said, to whom you yield yourself servants, to obey his servants you are. You got a choice. But when you come in, when he comes into your life and you begin to enjoy the fellowship with him and you begin to enjoy that love that he sheds upon you, you'll straighten your life out. The things that you used to want to do, you don't want to do no more because it breaks that fellowship. The things and places you used to go, you don't want to go no more because it breaks that fellowship. The things that you used to love, you don't love no more because it breaks that fellowship.
Amen.
He ain't coming into your life to straighten you out. He's coming into your life to call you out. But when he gets in your life, I promise you,
amen,
you'll straighten out.
Yeah. Amen.
Why? Because you become a new creature.
Amen.
Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I want Miss Evelyn to come to the piano this morning. Thank God for the calls in my life.
Amen.